The sermon this morning is based on this reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 20. To begin, I'm going to preach on a number of the verses out of that, or mention them. But I reread that last verse of the section, verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you like, you can look at the sermon notes and outline on the blue half page. Paul is quite straightforward and clear. The resurrection of Jesus Christ and the meaning for that as Christians who believe in him is all important and affects everything in our lives. And one way of saying it is that it is pointless to be a Christian if one does not believe in the resurrection of the dead. That's what Paul is pointing out. This faith, this understanding that God raises people from the dead is central. And if you don't believe in that, pointless to be a Christian. And going along with that, there is a heaven and there is a hell. As clear as Scripture says in so many passages, and there is a final judgment by a just God. These are clear. These are all part of the resurrection of the dead. In that outline, I've just summarized the same things that Paul has said in verses 13 through 18. If the dead are not raised, that is, if there's no afterlife, then Paul said, then Christ is not raised. And if Christ is not raised, then our preaching, he says, is worth nothing. And Christian faith is worth nothing. If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is nothing. And he even says, in the text there, he says, we've been misrepresenting God if it's not true. Let me put it this way, as I wrote down, if Christ is not raised, all preachers are liars. And even every Christian is a liar. Because so central to our faith that Jesus has risen from the dead and will raise all people from the dead, so central to the faith that if we don't believe that, we're lying, calling ourselves Christian with a Christian message. He said, if Christ is not raised, our faith is worthless. He also said there, if Christ is not raised, all the dead have perished. And I've mentioned this a number of times in Bible class, also from the pulpit, that word perish, that English word perish, indicates the idea that you are destroyed forever. It doesn't mean to die, like the body dies. It means destroyed, cease to exist, apart from God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. To die, for the body to die of a Christian, is not perishing. Perish means done, gone, apart from God. And Jesus said, those who believe in him, though he died, though they will not perish. And if Christ has not been raised, Paul says, we Christians are foolish. We're more pitied to be of anybody on earth. But it's the heart of our message, that this life is not the end, but God raises the dead. And if we don't believe that, we're missing the point of all of Christianity. Earlier in this, the earlier verses of this text, Paul points out that the resurrection of the dead was always, always God's plan. When he says in those beginning verses that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that Jesus was buried and raised on the third day according to the scriptures, what Paul is saying is that these things were prophesied, that the Messiah would die, be buried, and rise again in the Old Testament. This was God's plan from the beginning. And you can say very clearly that God clearly spoke about this to Adam and Eve. She will bear a son, and he will crush your head. This victory over Satan was planned by God all the time. The death and burial and resurrection according to the scriptures, Paul says. Paul said that he received this, and there's a mistake in the notes, not to others, but from others. Paul didn't make this up. He received the message and the teaching of the resurrection of the dead from others, from the scriptures, from the eyewitnesses. He received it. He's not making it up. He's passing it on. And he says he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, and the other apostles. And one thing is, the only place we know that it happened, because we don't have it in the gospel narrative, all four gospels don't record this, but Paul knows that at one time Jesus appeared to 500 believers together at the same time. And he mentions that. And Jesus appeared to James. That's an interesting little thing that he says there. James, the half-brother of Jesus. Scripture talks about Jesus having brothers and sisters born of Mary, born of a natural way, conception in a natural way. But we also see in the Gospels that his brothers rejected Jesus during his ministry. Peter, or Jesus, appeared to James, and James became a great leader in the city and church of Jerusalem, and was known and spoken about in Acts. And Paul says, and finally, he appeared to me. I'm not lying, Paul says. All these people saw him. Even the doubters, they saw him and they came to believe. And even me, Paul says, who persecuted the church. He brings this line of argumentation to show the Christians in Corinth, do not doubt the resurrection of the dead. It's true. This is the basis of our message, that Jesus rose from the dead. For us, I offer a few implications and meanings of this for us. Verse 20, he concluded, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He kept saying, if he's not raised from the dead, then this. If not, then this. If not, then this. For a number of verses there. But then Paul says, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. The entire Bible, all the narratives, all the teachings in the Bible point to God's plan that Jesus is going to give eternal life to all who trust and believe in him. And that also there is a judgment. So we as Christians, our awareness of what's going on in life, the good and the bad things going on, our awareness of everything that's going on is directed by this truth that there is life forever with God. We can get caught up in the daily news, good and bad, and forget that everything that we think about and perceive and how we interpret or how we handle things as a Christian is really framed, is surrounded by this truth, is grounded in this truth that God raises the dead, that this is not the end, that there is a final judgment, and that all who believe in Jesus Christ live forever in Him in heaven. Sometimes we as Christians are also disturbed, saddened, upset by evil things going on in the world all around us. But we as Christians should know that God has not left control to things that go willy-nilly and then there's no judgment. There is a judgment. How I perceive things is there's a lot of people don't believe that there's a God and they're going to be judged for what's going on. Because they will. And we will. And we plead in the name of Jesus, forgive me. Take me to heaven. And the sufferings that we have today is temporary. Does end. When we die, maybe that's when it ends. When we die, we have life forever without suffering. Scripture is clear. All pain and suffering and tears are wiped away. Unforgiven sin is punished. It does not go unpunished. So this reality of Jesus' resurrection from the dead shapes our thinking. This is a reality. Well, you forget all these reality shows. This is reality. For we Christians who go through life day to day is that Christ is risen from the dead and He will raise me from the dead. And so my approach to everything I face is knowing that. Knowing that this too shall pass. Knowing that this is good, but God's going to do more. Knowing that my lost one in the faith who has died beforehand, I will see that person again. Absolutely true. That is our frame of thinking and our reference. And each day then, we approach knowing that there's a resurrection of the dead, knowing that there's life eternal. Each day we approach that I'm getting a day closer to that. Maybe it's tomorrow. Maybe it's in 10 years. Maybe it's in 50 years. Whatever it is, I'm a day closer when God takes me to heaven. And in that sense, today, right now, is connected to heaven. God knows the timing for each one of us. But today, right now, is connected to eternity because I know it's true and I know in Christ I have life everlasting. And whether that comes tonight or tomorrow or 10 or 50 years, it's coming. So, as we go through each day, we say to ourselves and to one another, God, Jesus, promises I'm going to live forever in heaven. It's a promise. It's true, and I believe it. So today, I'm going to serve Him. What can I do? How can I help others? Well, I'm still here on this earth. What can I do to serve God and help others? Because I'm going to heaven. That is my place. And I want to honor God. And I want to love others. I really want others to go to heaven, too. How can I help them? Because I'm not afraid. And I'm not worried. And wickedness is not going to go forever and ever. Amen. No. heaven is true, the resurrection of the dead, and I can take everything that's going on and understand it by that and say, so how will I go through today and tomorrow, loving God, loving others? On my way to heaven. We pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for this promise, this guarantee of heaven, because you died and rose for us, which was always the plan. And we ask you to give us confidence and to look past things the world says, but to see what you say and what you promise. Help us get through the good and bad today, tomorrow, and the next day, knowing that you're with us, knowing that this promise is absolutely true. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.